When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to Salam Nerds Podcast.
All right, guys, you ready for your first EDM festival?
Let's go!
My first EDM festival. Yo, it's the Salam Nerds! My name is Steve, a.k.a. Watch Beneath. I'm here with my boy, Jess. Yo, what's up? We got some new friends up in here.
Thank you to our supporters. Please like, comment, share, and subscribe.
Yo, Salam Nerds. It's your boy Neve, aka Watchman Neve, and I'm here with my co-host Jeff, aka DJ Bloater.
Bloater. Spoilers.
That's what you get for being late, Jazz.
Spoilers.
There is no spoilers on this show because it's a recap show. That's all we do is spoil the episode.
That's very true.
Oh, welcome back, our permanent guest for all of the Last of Us content, Ruzzy.
Thanks, y'all. I've left my dad jokes at home, but I'm at home, so dad jokes will come back. Just kidding. Thanks for having me, guys.
Listen, our views went down so much last episode because of all the dad jokes we played.
Did they just stop listening or watching? Or
yeah. As soon as we started hitting the dad jokes, the content just started going down. Oh man. No, I'm kidding. But we did lose a few followers when we went on that huge break, so we got to build it back up. We got to remind everybody that we're back. So we're back. It, you know, to weekly content, it's going to be amazing. And The Last of Us is a great show to start that with. What are your thoughts, Jazz? What are your thoughts about this episode in general?
Oh, man. This episode was so gray, the way I want to describe it, right? Because we saw both sides of Kathleen and Henry and how they're both doing things that are bad with good intentions. So it was good to see both sides being humanized, but also at the same time seeing how both sides were wrong. So I think it was a fantastic episode just to see the dualities of mankind in a situation like this.
And Ruzzy, what about you, man? What are your thoughts about this episode?
I loved it. It was my favorite so far. Like, hands down, favorite episode thus far. Actually, to Jazz's point, it humanizes NPCs, aka non-playable characters, in ways that we've never seen before. So I love just this added depth of the characters and everything that's come through, the action, the heartbreak, everything. So I can't wait to talk about it.
That's interesting. I can't wait to dive into that. That's going to be really cool. I really like this episode, and like, I just didn't think that it was going to get better. I feel like this show, every episode is better than the first. Like the first episode, that pilot blew me away, especially with the plane scene and the sequences. And then you have the second episode and you're like, whoa, this is really getting into the story. Then the third episode with Bill and Frank, and you're like, whoa, what a beautiful story. And now this episode, it's like it keeps building every single episode. The tensions are high. And for me, as someone who didn't play the game, I was surprised about the ending. I was like, what just happened? Because to me, I'm like, oh, this is the main bad guy. This person's going to be the bad guy throughout like the end of the season, like in The Walking Dead, like the general or like whoever it is, like the main big bad. I thought that was Kathleen. And it turns out, a lot of things did not happen the way I thought they were going to happen. So I really, really enjoyed this episode. It kept me on my toes, kept me thinking. This is going to be one of those shows where, like, you know, if you don't play the game, you have a hard time figuring out what's going on.
Yeah, I can see that.
Kind.
I can see that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I really thought she was going to be the main big bad. I thought she was going to be like the person you got to kill at the end of the season. So we'll see.
It's so funny. I actually didn't think of that perspective. That, I mean, I think that's one of the things I love talking with you guys about and kind of seeing these discoveries that you have, Neves, like every week, as you know, someone who's played the game and kind of knows the direction it's going, general direction it's going. Obviously, mm-hmm. there's different divergences. Mm-hmm. I love kind of this.
Not Pittsburgh, so.
Exactly.
That is true. Yeah, because in the game, they're in Pittsburgh, right?
Mm-hmm. That's right. Yeah. That's right.
But I think the reason they did that is because they're shooting in Canada, right? In like Calgary.
Yeah.
And like Calgary doesn't look like Pittsburgh. So they're like, we got to pick some place that looks a little similar.
It does not. It does not.
Fair. All right, cool. So listen, let's get down to the episode. First thing I want to talk about, the woman who plays Kathleen, like Mel from, you know, 2.5 Men, a lot of people came out talking about how she didn't look the part and this and that. Like, I think people are just being shallow and short-sighted when they say stuff like that, because she is an incredible actress. I mean, she is like, bar none, the best person they could have picked. But like, a lot of people were like, she's too big to play this role. And I'm just like, what is wrong with people? Like, why are they so against body diversity? Why does everyone have to look the same exact way? I really thought she did a great job. I think she's a great actress. And I feel like there's always these nerds that want everyone to be these skinny white people. And whenever they see anybody diverge from that, they get like bent out of shape.
Bunch of solipsists, I tell you. It's a nerd solipsism.
Oh my God.
And for those
I've
who
never
don't
heard
know,
anything it's... more accurate.
Wait, explain to our audience what that means.
Okay, well, I'm not going to go into too much, but I'm just going to say they're literalists, if you will. So I think they're really kind of, you know, everything must look exactly the same compared to the source material. But, you know, like if you have that, I mean, you just might as well just play the game, right? Or you might as well read the book or whatever it might be, right?
Right. It's an adaption.
Enjoy the journey.
Yeah. No. It was really, really cool. I love seeing the backstory of Sam and Henry. Yeah. The way they were talking about Henry, I really thought he was like this dastardly, horrible person. But then when you get to see him and meet him, you're like, yo, he's just looking out for his brother. Like, he made bad choices. And you see Kathleen, she makes equally terrible choices where she's telling people, hey, I want you to inform on this person. And she's like, all right, we're going to kill them all. And then she's like, all right, fine, we'll tell you what's happening. And they're like, okay, are we really going to put them on trial? She's like, no, burn the bodies, throw them away. Like, she's so evil too. It is wild. And I really, really think that, like, it's one of those situations where, like, the people that you were trying to free yourself from, you slowly become those people.
Mm, so true. I mean, we've seen that in the Arab Spring, right? I mean, Libya, Iraq, elsewhere, just, like, you know, it's very complicated, very challenging. And when you're trying to prop up a new government, you know, a new system, there are going to be complications, right? People are going to be used to the old ways of doing things, mm-hmm. and they're not going to want to have those changes like those informants. It's pretty crazy to kind of see that perspective.
So my question to you guys is, was Henry really that bad? I mean, he's a rat. He's a collaborator. But like, I don't know, like, was he that bad that like Kathleen is like so crazy about going after him?
I mean, her brother died because of this, right?
Yeah.
And she was very close to her brother, and she wants to get revenge.
Sure.
That's the issue with revenge itself. Kathleen may just as well be a victim of PTSD here. And she's just going through the motions of that. It's not exactly that she's evil per se. She's just traumatized, and she's making horrible decisions based on that.
Yeah.
And conversely, Henry also made some really bad choices, but his intentions were good, yet the path to hell is paved with good intentions.
Yes, so, that's what they say.
Yeah, so here we are. Like, we're stuck in between two people who are both right and both extremely wrong, and they're duking it out, and we're more or less trying to pick a side here. Who's wrong? They're both wrong. Who's right? They're both right, kinda. But this could have been handled much differently if they both had some therapy in life.
Yeah, therapists are in short supply in the in the apocalypse.
Yeah, therapist. If you end up in an apocalyptic scenario, come to one of our places. We'll protect you and keep you. And then whenever our governments fall and the new governments rise and they fall, we'll make sure y'all are there safe to keep us in check.
That is the ultimate white privilege, to have a therapist in the post-apocalyptic world.
Yeah, I'd rather go the pill route.
Right?
Everyone makes bad choices in a pandemic apocalypse.
Oh, we got some people in the audience. Welcome. Welcome, Raph. Welcome, April. Awesome. Raph, man, this guy's been on every episode. We love you, man. You gotta have him on the get him on the episode one day. If we do, we won't have anybody in the comments. Oh man. All right. So we talked about him being the rat, but like I really like the story of Kathleen's brother. Like he seemed like such a great guy. And I'm just like
Michael, yeah.
Yo, why do we get to learn more about him? Are there gonna be flashbacks? Like I really want to learn more about him. And then we just like hear about him in people's conversations. He seemed like a great leader. And even him who was killed by Henry Zaction was like, hey, I want you to forgive him. And I thought that was really amazing because in the Quran and these other places where they're like, your mercy has to prevail over your wrath, right? So your mercy has to be more powerful than wrath. It has to be your go-to. It isn't always punishment and wrath. You got to be compassionate. You got to be merciful. That should be your go-to. And he seemed like the leader that would go through that. He seemed like a great leader. Is there more we know about him in the video game, or is there less that we know about him in the video game than the show adapted to it more? What about you, Rezzy?
No, I mean, these are entirely, I mean, I would say for Kathleen and that the Pittsburgh / Kansas City folks, they're entirely new characters.
Oh,
so
really?
We don't even, they're just two dimensional. We just know that they're chasing after Henry and Sam. So in the game, it's not really much of a spoiler, but it's basically two traveling groups that come together. So Joel and Ellie, Sam and Henry, they just kind of happen to kind of align with each other. And they're traveling together and they end up wanting to protect one another. And so that's kind of how that, I guess, alliance forms in the show. It's very different. And I like this added layers of, all right, well, who's chasing them, right? Like, not just like these NPCs, right? What I mentioned earlier, but, you know, what is their story? And what are their pains and their joys and all those things, their inspirations? So I think it's just fascinating to kind of go this down this path.
That just blows me away.
Raph in the comments says, I like the story of Kathleen's brother. For me, it gave Kathleen more legitimacy without her brother. I didn't understand why Kathleen would be the leader. Her right-hand man seems more capable. I'm guessing that's what he meant by
incentive. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and what's his name? Perry?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like Perry's just an awesome soldier.
Knocks it out of the park.
Yeah, great actor, great everything he's doing. And yeah, Michael, the brother, my God, that was gut-wrenching.
I like the comment that he made when he says, hey, your brother was a great man, and we would follow him to the ends of the earth, but you're the one that made actual change. You're the one that made stuff happen. And I was like, ooh, that makes a lot of sense, man. Sometimes you need the person with the hammer and instead of the person with the stick, right? It's very, very different. So it's I don't know about that, man. That made me really think.
That's our political system though, man.
Yeah.
Like if you think about it, right? You are one of two sides in our, you know, two party system, right? But even within our parties, we have primaries. And you could have two really good leaders. One who's good at, you know, talking with people. One who's good at getting things done. You know, one who's better at social issues. One who can get policy passed. Who do you vote for?
Yeah.
So it's true.
That's exactly our system here.
So true. Yeah.
That's so true. Wow. Never thought about that. But also, I had no idea that these were NPCs. The way they showed them, I literally thought they were the big bads. I thought they were going to fight them for, like, 4 or 5 episodes. I had no idea there were one and dones. That's so wild to me. You guys just blew my mind.
Yeah.
That's insane. It's like a good, it was a good kind of like the last episode and this episode were a good kind of like, you know, confined episodes together, right? They're really, really good back to back. And it was fun to kind of see that play out.
One thing that I really liked, and it goes to the casting directors and stuff like that, they made one of the characters, Sam, deaf, and they use ASL to communicate throughout the whole episode. I thought that was really, really cool. Bella had to learn ASL
from the game.
Yeah. Oh, that is a change from the game. That wasn't in the game. That's such a great change.
Mm-hmm. That is he's older, whereas in the show he's younger.
Yeah, he was a teen in there, and here he's like 8 or something, right?
Yeah. I really love that, because I feel like it's a little bit more diversity, a little bit more inclusion, and it really added a extra layer of danger to the characters. Because then you're like, oh my God, this person can't hear, this person can't see. He can see, but like, you know, it's dark, and there's also like in the tunnels, it's really, they can't use their flashlights, and he can't hear. So it's really, really scary. And he doesn't know what other people are planning. These people are talking about escapes and tunnels, and he's kind of just there like, hey, let me know what's happening. And it was very, very, I think, just like added an extra layer and nuance to this character. And the fact that they got a person, an actor, who is deaf in real life, I thought it was brilliant. I thought it was really good. They showed the behind the scenes where even all the cast and crew learn sign language just to communicate with them. That's amazing. That's a really beautiful story. I really like that. What are your thoughts about that, especially about the fact that it's not even in the game?
Rosie, go ahead, man.
I thought it was beautiful. I thought it was one of the best additions and changes thus far. I think not only does it, you know, highlight people with disabilities, and empowers people with disabilities, but also it doesn't make that kind of the issue, right? The issue that they're trying to that you know Henry's trying to help Sam with is his leukemia diagnosis, not you know his disability. And so with this, it really enriched the story, and it kind of created this new form of communication that you didn't really see, because you know you hear Ellie bantering with like you know Joel or anyone else she comes across, but here there's the silence and kind of this connection that Sam and Henry have that you don't see that often, especially not in apocalyptic or you know dramatic series like this.
Yeah, and you know, since Sam couldn't hear, he couldn't tell what an asshole voice he has. That was the funniest part. He goes, that's just his voice. He's like when he tries to say it again, she just like rolls her eyes like, oh God, everything he says sounds like an asshole. It sounds sarcastic.
Yeah, Kevon, who is the actor, he's an 8-year-old deaf actor, and he just completely knocked it out of the park. And I heard how the showrunners found him, and it really is just like a needle in the haystack, and he was just such a gem. And I do hope that we see more projects with him and people like him in the future. Yeah.
They had the woman from The Walking Dead who also was deaf. And yeah, no, not Michonne. She was she had a different name, but she was also in Eternals. So after The Walking Dead, she got casted as in the Eternals.
Yeah. Yeah.
And she was deaf in both of them. So it's really cool to see all these characters and see these people feel included in this content. I really enjoyed that. Thought that was really, really good. But yeah, it was interesting. Kansas City is now Killer City, and these guys are trying to survive.
In Walking Dead, her name was Connie. I thought you were going to go a completely different direction with the conversation, and that's why I said.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Michonne would never allow any of this stuff to go down, but you know, here we are.
Yeah. No, for sure. We got some people in the comments talking about the French Revolution and how killed Louis XVI.
Let's go from the top. It bothers April says it bothers me how much the audience suggested Kathleen's character. Or before we learned her backstory. Yeah. It's like,
I think a lot of the audience were just these, you know, annoying fanboys who just didn't think she fit the body type. I heard a lot of comments about her body type, and I think that was just stupid and short-sighted, and she did a great job as an actor. So
Fantastic.
Yeah, like I hated her character on the show, and if I hate your acting, like you know, like I hate you because you're acting so well, that means you're doing a damn good job at acting here.
But like, she never raises her voice. She's never screaming. She's so like soft spoken, but it's so terrifying. It's so terrifying.
Yeah, I was listening to the showrunners. They said, imagine if like we took a kindergarten teacher and made them a dictator, and that's her. Like, that's basically her character type, right? Like, very calm, very collective, but then like will literally chill the insides, like, and maybe literally too.
Oh, so that's like if Miss Rachel became a dictator. Do you guys know Miss Rachel? Miss Rachel is really big with the toddlers. Oh my God. Miss Rachel, my niece loves her. She's insane. Like, she's like the YouTube queen. She's going to take out Cocomelon. It's wild.
That's awesome.
I wouldn't be surprised. Yeah. All right. So another good point is that sometimes after the revolution, the system still sucks for people. They remove the Nazi Federa, but Kathleen rules with an iron fist. Yep. That's what happens in power vacuums. You know, you get rid of one bad and something worse may come up. So,
All right. So the other thing I want to talk about, which I thought was very ingenuitive, I guess is the word. I don't know if that's a word, but no. It was the Etch-a-Sketch that he had to write his name on there. That was pretty cool. That was a really cool addition. Because, like, you don't need to keep pieces of paper and pens. You just have one pen and the thing. And every time you do it, you just go up. I'm like, that's so brilliant. I thought that was really, really cool. So they start looking for these tunnels because that's their only way out. But they're like, hey, rumors had it, a lot of these infected were in the tunnels, but they're not because we had them cleared out about 3 years ago. So he's like, all right, I don't know how this sounds. They go and they find this little kindergarten classroom with all the toys. And it was really cool to see like Ellie and Sam just be kids and like talk about comic books and have fun and play soccer. It's like really, really cool to see. It's like, and you forget that, like, you know, Ellie is a young kid. Even though the actress is 19, she's still playing like a young kid.
She's playing a 14-year-old, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
You know what's really weird? Someone said this to me the other day. Pedro Pascal is 47, right? Bella is 19. So that's the same age as Leonardo DiCaprio and his new girlfriend.
That's the same age difference, yeah.
Wow.
Because could you imagine Pedro Pascal and like Ellie? Like, that? Come on. Leo,
Haram Nerds has entered the chat.
Yo.
Actually, what I find even funnier is I saw this meme where it's like, no, it's not that Leo DiCaprio only goes for girls under 25. It's when girls turn 25, they get bored with Leo DiCaprio.
True.
They mature enough that it's like, yeah, no, this guy isn't it. Let's move on.
There are women that wear like sweatshirts that say too old for Leo.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it's so funny.
But yeah, let's get back to the show. The fact that they made... I can't talk about Leo DiCaprio. And...
we'll imagine if he was in the zombie apocalypse. I don't think he'd survive.
No.
God, no.
He would bang every person under 19 that like he ran into. People rather run into the zombies. All right. Back to the show. Okay, so what happened is they start their way and they're almost out. And then this guy starts shooting at him from like a building.
The sniper.
Now, that has to be part of the game. Was that part of the game?
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Oh, that must be fun.
Oh, it's so much fun. It was in the day. So when that took place, well, first let me take one step back. So in the tunnels, it was like so similar to the game. It was just crazy. Save Leo from Haram. Yeah, I don't know. I think we're a little long past that. so they had this really intimate conversation about like, you know, like who he is, right? And then Henry turns to Joel and said, you may not be her father, but you're someone's, right? Because they talk and he's like, I'm not her father. He's not my dad. But like that really touched me as a father myself. I think there's a lot of fatherly vibes have come up besides the dad jokes. A lot of like heartstrings have been pulled throughout this series. And just like that intimate moment of the kids being innocent, being themselves, but then also like when Sam goes up to the door because he sees this beautiful color castle, right? And he's about to open the door, but then Joel jumps out and says, no, right? Because he doesn't understand danger in the way that, you know, maybe Henry has taught him. And so you just see kind of like his innocence come out just completely, right? But Henry has this really interesting way of always being very truthful and honest with Sam throughout like the time that we see them together. Mm-hmm. Like, oh yeah, the doctor's dead, probably, right? Or we have to leave, we have no more food, right? He's very direct with him. Whereas like parents, we're not that direct in that regard, right? Like, try to like soften the blow, if you will, right? And so, because we like sometimes it the truth can hurt, right? And so seeing like how they interact in the tunnel and then beyond, like it just, it pulls the strings. But yeah, going back to the sniper scene, so cool. And it's literally straight out of the game, but it's daytime instead of nighttime. So that nighttime just makes it so much more terrifying.
So it happens just like that. Like you're getting shot at and then Joel goes around and then he kills the guy. And then he starts becoming the sniper. And then you have to save Ellie and everybody else by sniping.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you get like little health markers when like they're getting attacked.
Yeah.
And so have to like try to pivot.
It's crazy.
And like shoot those. Yeah. It's crazy.
Yeah.
That's cool. So the other thing is, we see the big ass truck come through. That was wild.
The one and then, with the run on it.
Yeah,
the
yeah.
Run on the front. Yeah,
I know.
That's from the game, by the way.
Oh, that is from the game. That's so
from
cool.
The game. Yeah.
And then freaking Ellie's shooting at them with no aim, just like just shooting at them like it's gonna do anything.
Oh man.
And then Joel, the sniper, he freaking gets the shot, and then it goes into this house, and it starts to fold through. And, you know, Kathleen's there and they're doing their whole monologue about like you have to come out and like it's fate. Kids have to die. Kids die all the time. Brutal. Brutal.
Terrible. Terrible.
Right. And she's like not even mean about it. She's like got this sweet kindergarten teacher voice. And she's like, kids got to die. Like, it's so crazy.
It is.
Oh, man. Yeah. Can you say death? Like, that's crazy. Right. But. Then this truck starts to fall in, and then you see all these infected come out. It was wild. I'd never seen a scene like that where it's just coming off the ground. The camera angle, the cinematography is so great because the camera's low, and you see them come right at the camera, and it's just so overwhelming. Is that from the game, too? How was that part?
It's a little different.
Okay.
Right. The truck exploding and all that and then crowding of the house, that doesn't exactly happen in the game. Right, because I think from what I remember, right, it's the truck just drives in, just falls, like the whole house part is completely not there. And the fire was not there. It was like I said, daytime. It was just a lot different.
You had these like Hummers crashing into the different the houses.
Very cool.
So this is different, but I think they did it better.
I think they did it amazing.
100%. Yeah.
And, 100%. And like the infected were crazy because they had this one little girl who was like contorting her body. Like, bro, that little girl creeped me the hell out.
Yes.
She's a gymnast. She's a gymnast in real life. She's like an 8-year-old gymnast. Like, oh, and it was so creepy. No offense to little girl, but it was creepy. I saw a video of her eating cereal with her feet, and like she had her feet in front of her, and she's like eating cereal with her feet. Yo, that chick,
so crazy.
Crazy.
Yo, just give her all the horror parts, all the kid horror parts. Just give
her in every horror movie. It's so great. Oh my god, that was so great. April said Kathleen's voice reminds her of Megan, Nick Offerman's wife. I actually thought that was Nick Offerman's wife. I actually thought that was her.
Oh. That voice,
right. Totally.
From Will and Grace, right? Two of the zombies are gay, and she has to, like, I don't know. That'd be really, really funny. Oh, man.
No, I remember her, the wife from Parks and Rec, because she was the crazy ones. And so,
yeah. They divorced and got married so many times or something like that. Yeah, I remember. Oh, man. That's his real life wife. Yeah, that's really, really funny.
Mm-hmm.
So that was really crazy. And then we see the bloater.
The bloater.
Whoa. I thought the behind the scenes and the guy who was the bloater, I think that's like really jacked powerlifter. He looked like a Game of Thrones. Bloater. Yeah, he was not bloating.
not no. At all.
Bloater is what they should call me after iftar during Ramadan. That's me, not him. But no, that was a really cool monster. And he's still alive. He's not dead yet. You saw him rip the head off that guy. That was wild.
He did so effortlessly, just like...
like it was a doll.
Yeah, totally.
Oh, I loved it.
Like a Barbie doll. It's like, yank it off.
Yeah, crazy. So I assume we're going to see a little bit more of him. I feel like he's going to come back. It's got to.
Oh, it has to, yeah.
Yeah.
I think the way they all slipped into
it, it felt like you know, like when you have like wrapping paper, like it's so thin, so easy to just rip. I felt like that's how they were just like ripping through it all. It was just, I was so happy to see her die.
Did they call him a bloater, or is that just what people know him as?
Well, that's what they're almost a game from the game.
Okay. Yeah. If it was me, I would call him Herpes Monster. That's what he had. He had all these boils and stuff. Man. I was like, oh no.
So
don't
funny.
Get the hurt. Yeah. All right. but like, here's something I didn't expect. They kill Kathleen, and I thought she was going to be like a main boss. She's gone. She, the little contortionist girl, killed her.
Yeah, that's great. That's so very happy. Poetic.
It is poetic because she's like, kids got to die. Oh, yeah. Okay. Then the little kid killed her.
Mm-hmm.
So I was just sad
about Perry dying, though.
Like, yeah, kids saving kids, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Kathleen's gone. Perry's gone. And then, you know.
Just got wiped out.
Yeah.
Yeah, older people got wiped out.
All of them. Like, also, another thing about the game, there weren't that many people that showed up, like, in the show. There were a lot less people in the game, like, with Kathleen's backup, right?
Yeah.
There were a lot less people. So this was totally different, and it was more intense because of it.
Oh my God, stakes were so high. I was on literal edge of my seat that whole, like, from when she started shooting, like the crazy aim, to like when, like that whole, like to Kathleen dying, I was literal edge of my seat. I just loved every minute of it.
I was just like, what's going to happen next? I had no idea that's what's going to happen.
Yeah. I didn't know it was going to happen either. And I played the game.
We didn't see the show at all. Like, it was so enjoyable. Let's go to the comments real quick.
Yeah.
April says the logo reminded me of the witch in Left 4 Dead. Yes.
There's a witch in Left 4 Dead?
Yeah, because they're like multiples of them, right?
Oh, okay.
I can't remember which one, but yeah, there is one. Kansas City is now no more.
Bye-bye, Killer City.
True. That's true. Yeah. That's where they went.
Raph is like, oh, maybe a second bloater? I don't know if I saw that. I can't remember.
Ooh, second bloater.
I can't remember if I saw that, yeah, but I'm hoping so. And then, Nox like, oh, yeah, we saw Henry and Sam at the end of his form, and she cheered. But then she remembered the game. She's like, oh, fuck.
Yeah.
We haven't gotten to that part just yet, but we're getting there.
Oh, man. All right.
Get the tissues.
Also, I love the picture that Nox has. That's a cute picture.
Yeah, that's a dope. That's a dope picture.
Cartoon, yeah.
Awesome. Love the hair. Mm-hmm. All right. Let's get to the part that Nox just mentioned, man. Ellie is hanging out with... Ellie's hanging out with Sam. Joel's hanging out with Henry, and they're kind of just talking, and they're like, you know, it's easier to be a kid than it is to be an adult because you have responsibilities. When you're a kid, you kind of don't. So it's kind of like Joel's throwback to his daughter, right? You know how he felt about his daughter. He's slowly getting attached to Ellie, and the same way he got attached to his daughter, right? And he doesn't want to feel that anymore, but he does. He is this like reluctant hero that like we know is going to take her to the end because someone who was very close to him, who loved him, asked him to. Right. So he feels this need to do that. So he kind of, you know, it's the same thing. Like Henry is there with his little brother and he's like, listen, you might not be her father, but you are a father. I can see it in you. Right. So they're kind of talking about that. And this kind of builds up to what's happening in the other room, which they're kind of, Ellie and Sam are kind of having this conversation. They're talking to each other and it's a very cute conversation. But then he goes, do you think you're still inside the monster or something like that? Right. And then
into a monster. Is it still you?
Is it still you? Yeah. And I was like, bro, like, I never thought about that, but like in The Walking Dead, when all these people died, like what if you still have a little bit of your consciousness left inside when you're the zombie and you have to just roam the world as a zombie? Like that would be torment. That would be torture to just be like inside there,
watching yourself.
Yeah,
no control, just being this mindless thing. Yeah, that would.
They're the disease like that.
Insane.
They're the disease like that. It's called locked-in syndrome, where you're kind of like everything in your brain works, but you can't move anything, and you're kind of just locked into your body.
Yeah,
I would expect like being a zombie is like that. That would be the worst torture in the world.
At that point, like DNR, I don't care. Just.
Zombies don't have to worry about being resuscitated.
Yeah. But I mean, it's like, at that situation, just end me. I do not want to suffer like
that. Put a knife through me, right? Yeah, for sure.
I'm done.
So we see that Sam has a bite mark. And then this is another window we get to see into Ellie, that she's just a kid. So she's like, my blood is magic. It can heal. It's medicine. So she just like cuts off a part of her hand and just like high fives the bite mark, right? Thinking it's going to do anything. And then the part that was weird is like, okay, yeah, I'll stay awake with you. I guess she fell asleep.
They're kids,
right? And then she tries to wake him up. Bro, that scene. And then obviously he turns into an infected. They come out of that room and, you know, Joel's instinct is to go in and help her. And then Henry wouldn't let him. Yeah. And he takes two shots, and then he's like, you see him like panicking, and then he shoots him. And then when he shoots him and he realizes what he's done, he can't take it anymore. He can't, like, he did the right thing. He had to save Ellie, but he couldn't live with what he did, and he shot himself.
Yeah.
How is that different from the game? Because that was, holy crap, that was crazy. That was wild. I did not expect that to happen.
It was carbon copy. Like, really? I knew it was coming, but I still was not prepared for it. Like, the kid is so cute. Like, he's so cute. He could be my son. Like, everyone fell in love with him.
Yeah.
And so that just makes it so much harder, because you're personalizing these characters in ways that the game doesn't. Or in ways that the game doesn't elaborate further. It's almost identical. I mean, I saw some of the side-by-side comparisons, like, oh my God, I didn't realize how identical the scene was, and still was not prepared for it. And I'm still recovering. So, I mean, here we have like three major heartbreaks in every other episode. Episode one, Sarah. Episode three, Bill and Frank. Episode five,
Sam and Henry.
Yeah, it's like, well, I don't know how this series is going to keep people together.
Yeah, I don't know how my heart can take, man. I don't know how much more deaths I can take in this show.
Oh, we're in for it, because guess what? Last of Us Season 2 has been officially renewed.
Ooh, all right,
yep,
all right.
That's true. Yep.
Yeah, no, man, it was a great scene. Really fell for it. Noctis, like, I should have known the TV version would be worse concerning Henry and Sam's side. I'm still messed up over Bill and Frank. Changes.
I know.
Oh, man. April says, the line changed from it's all your fault to what did I do was masterful. Oh, yeah. So the original line was, it's all your fault, he blamed Joel?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think for getting, like, bit. Yeah.
He blamed Sam.
He blamed Sam.
Henry blamed Sam, right?
I thought he blamed Joel.
I think Joel blamed Joel.
Or Ellie.
Yeah, Joel or Ellie for probably getting bit.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. But it still doesn't prepare you. It still doesn't prepare you for, like,
the what did
punch.
I do line was just way worse.
Like, the what did I lose? Yeah.
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 He just comes to the realization of what he did.
Yeah.
Knox says episode 5 is the epitome of an amazing media, but I'm never watching this again.
Damn.
And Margaret Hill.
Oh, Margaret Hill's here. What's up?
What's up?
Every
Sonico?
Episode is killing me. I know.
Yeah, totally. Totally.
Yeah. And it was Joel. Okay, yeah.
Yeah,
he blamed Joel. Oh, man. And then you see them burying the body. Joel, like, you know, he felt they need to bury the body, and we see Ellie. You see her getting like rougher and tougher. Like part of her innocence is being lost in every episode. And she has a little etch a sketch that she writes, I'm sorry, on there. And then Joel, and she's like, all right, which way do we go? All right, let's go. And she's kind of being like this cold person, and she's kind of turning into like you know, like they all have PTSD at this point, but I don't know. It feels like the last time we see her as a child, because that was really, really rough episode. And she's been through a lot. And, you know, listen, you can't just high five someone's bite mark. You might need an IV. You might need something else. If your blood definitely the cure, you might need to create a vaccine. You can't just high five people with your blood.
Yeah, actually, that's one of the things my wife turned to me. She's like, so how is she supposed to help people? Right. So I think, like, you know, that's like that's definitely going to come up. So folks, stay tuned for that. But yeah, it's totally, I mean, it's so innocent, right? She's like, oh, I could help, right? I had the tools, right? Yeah. I didn't get infected. My blood must be magic, right? And in medicine. So, like, it just, I don't know, it's very sweet, because I see my kids, right? And they're 7 and 8. My daughter's going to turn 9 this week. And
when's her birthday?
The 18th.
Oh, mine's the 19th.
Oh, snap. Look at that. So I see how my kids are with each other, and they're always helping each other, and my daughter is always looking out for the younger one. And you see that throughout this episode of just like how Sam is looking to Ellie like an older sister, right? Like a teacher, like just like Ellie is looking to Joel as a teacher, right? So I love that.
I'm actually glad they made Sam younger, because he is like more reliant on everybody older in the show as opposed to the game. The game is a bit more independent. So just having him be younger, having him more reliant on Henry, on Ellie, like you build a stronger bond to him, and it hurts just as much. Like it hurts much worse when you have to kill him.
So in this show, there's not a lot of zombie killing. So there's more like interactions with people. There's more storyline happening. So how is that different than the game? Is the game mostly storyline too? Or is there like a lot of like fighting zombies or infected that we're not seeing because it's not important to the story?
There's a lot more killing.
There's a lot more killing? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's like balanced both with the infected and the people that are trying to hurt or harm them.
Very cool. One thing that I thought was really cool we didn't get to mention was the scene where his brother puts the paint on him and makes him a superhero so he can like not be scared. I thought that was a very sweet thing. And then we see all those superheroes and basketball players that he put on the wall and crayons and stuff like that, which is interesting because it's one of those things this show does that I think other zombie shows don't do, is they refer to the world before things happen, right? Because in The Walking Dead, none of the kids know what basketball is, but in this show they do, because they have classes and they have, like, you know, they learn things and they have textbooks and stuff. So it's really interesting to see that, like, you know, they know what a basketball player is, they know what a superhero is, and comic books, they have a Bank of America. I thought that was pretty funny too. All right, let's go to the comments.
Sorry,
unpack our trauma.
I need to unpack all my trauma.
Do that together. Welcome to therapy.
Watching the show. Yep.
Yeah. Yep.
Oh man, like.
she got attacked by two kids. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, I forgot about that. The story messed me up so badly. Oh man.
I hope we weren't gonna get to that, but yeah, that's totally wrecked me.
Yeah. And then the story is from the fact that her blood couldn't help, right? Like, it's just,
And Ellie's trying to learn ASL.
Endure and survive, right? Like,
yeah, that's cute. Yeah, totally. The actors on set also were learning ASL.
Yeah. Even the people in the background, the stunt coordinators, everybody was learning ASL. It's really, really cool. Yeah.
It's really beautiful. Yeah. I love kind of the care that they're putting all the people that are entering this world and making sure that everyone feels comfortable and supported. I love it.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of that, man. I'm super, super happy they did that. It's really cool. I love the inclusion. I love that. Inclusion is more than just people of different races, man. It's different body types. It's different disabilities, everything. We love to see it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now I'm getting sad again just thinking about yesterday.
All right. Yeah. Nox says, I also really loved how the show made Sam's character deaf because the actor was. Yep. Really, really great. That kid, man, he was so cute. He did such a great job. great episode overall, man. And I don't know what to expect next, man, because every episode I've been blown away.
Oh, I
just believe, get ready.
Yeah, the next episode will probably be a lull, but then get right back in the action with the episode after.
Well, here's the thing, right? Even the lull episodes were amazing, because I believe, like, in the game, the Bill and Frank scenes were probably not as extensive as the show was, right? So I feel like the show is good at taking something that was, like, mundane and adding to it to make it that much more of a nuanced show, right? And give it more, like, you know, a little bit of more inclusion, like they did with the Frank and Bill love storyline. I think they always find ways to make the show, I don't know, just more layered than it was in the game. So I really like that. And they have to do that because, you know, they can't just show them killing zombies 24/7, which is probably what the game is.
I mean, the game had a lot of story too. It was great, but
yeah, okay. It did.
There was definitely
it's one of the best. Yeah, it's one of the best video game stories of all time. I mean, that's what people say. Like, The Last of Us is the best video game story ever. And to put that into a show, I mean, you could hear and you feel kind of the heightened expectations. And I think it's not only lived, but I think it's surpassed all of those in ways that I think any video game fan has always dreamed. It's a really beautiful thing to see. And then those layers really help to make it such a richer story, and one that you feel like immersed in, that you feel that you care about the people. And it's not just some thing that you're going to turn on and turn off, right? It's something that you feel really invested in. It's beautiful.
So let me ask you guys a question. So the game has a part one and a part two. Does part two is a conclusion, or is there a possibility of a part three?
I heard like last week that they may consider a part three if there's a story to tell, but I don't really know what the direction they're going to go.
Well, do you think the show might go past, or the show just going to do a part one and part two and then just end it?
I think they're going to do part one and part two, and then if there's another game, maybe they'll make another series, another season. But I think they're really going to stick to the games. I don't think they're going beyond that much.
I mean,
at all.
So far it's been great, like going back to the game, all the callbacks, all the little Easter eggs, they're all there. Like, I don't think they would do a show without the game being fleshed out properly.
Yeah.
All right, very cool. April says, Neebs, you may need therapy. For the record, I am in therapy, not related to the game, but I have a lot of anxiety, man. I got my pills.
And you're watching the show?
Yeah. Well, I don't know. My anxiety is more of a social anxiety. So this is why I decided to make a podcast where I can control all the people and kick anybody out. I don't want to control everything. Knox said the fact the kid was cute made everything so much worse because 100%. It was a double-edged sword. Yeah. If it was some annoying kid.
I was like, he can die. Life goes on.
It's so cute.
Marjorie was saying, can you talk about Perry, who voiced Tommy in the game? Yeah, we talked about him last time. I need a henchman like that. His beard was epic. Yes, his
totally
beard.
Was.
That was awesome. And the bloater was horrifying. Perry went out like a G. I was so sad. Yes, we did touch on that a little bit. He just took his head off like a balloon, man. That was wild.
Yeah, just like wrapping paper, like just rip.
Crazy.
Mm-hmm. Yes. All right, this is a great question. All right, I like this. Guys, what's your favorite episode? Knox and her is 3, 5, 1, 4, 2.
I am inclined to agree to that, actually.
I somewhat disagree.
What was 3?
Okay.
What happened
three
in 3?
That was Bill and Frank.
That was Bill and Frank.
Then what was 4?
That was last episode where they got to Kansas City, and that's when we first learned about Kathleen, the doctor. And they stay in the room. And at the end is where we see Henry and Sam with the guns.
Okay. So for me, I think this was the best episode. So I would switch 5 and 3. But I think everything else Knox says was right. So for me, it would be 5, 3, 1, 4, 2.
Yeah, I would do 5, 3, 1, 2, 4.
Yeah, okay, I'm with you on
and
that.
I think the one reason for 2 is because I really loved the Indonesian scene where they had the doctor and how chilling that was. That was just, for me, that alone, that could be the only scene in the episode. I would have been done.
I changed my answer. You're right. I'm going to go 2-4 because the Indonesian scene was very chilling.
Yeah, when she was just like, oh, yeah, I'm going to go home and spend time with my family. Go ahead and bomb the entire country, please. It's like,
yeah. Yeah, and then Tess's kiss of death. I was like, oh, my God.
Oh,
what?
My God.
So, yeah, I think, I'm going to switch those two.
And the food looks so good, too. The Indonesian food. Let's not forget
that. Oh, I thought you meant the tendrils.
But we also did learn about how they have a hive mind, right? That was a big part of the story, too. I thought that was really cool.
So, too, also explained how flour was distributed globally all at once and why everybody got infected all at once.
Yeah.
That was brilliant.
And
so, yeah.
And we saw the clickers. We saw the clickers in that episode, too, right?
Yep.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, of course. So, for sure.
Yep. She got it. 5-3-1-2-4. I think this is what the general consensus is here.
Yeah.
Yep. Solid.
And a break.
Let's keep it up, man. Let's keep that number going, and let's see if we change our minds after the next episode. I feel like for me, every episode, I'm gonna be like, "That one's my favorite."
It's gonna be like that. Just wait for it.
Yeah.
The puns are the only reason number 4 was higher for me.
Oh,
but I forgot about the Indonesian food. Ugh. That was really good.
You're
going to
hear a lot more puns, man. Don't worry. Okay?
We are.
Yeah.
We didn't hear any puns.
Oh, they happened throughout the entire game. Like, it's nothing like.
That's true.
It's not a one and done thing.
Ellie was showing Sam the pun. They were giggling in the
corner.
Totally.
Yeah. It's great. It was so great. I loved it.
Yeah. Also, the Indonesian scientist was Muslims to represent. Yep. Shout out to that. We'd love to see it. So that's awesome. And all the scientists were all hijabis. Like, everybody in the lab was a hijabi. So shout out women in STEM. Yes.
It was very accurate for Indonesia. So I'm very happy to see that.
We love to see it. All right. All right, man. Final thoughts of the episode. Ruzzy, you go first.
Best one so far. Like I said, I mean, it had the action, the you know, literally being on the edge of my seat, and the heartbreak that I expected. That I knew was coming, but still was not prepared for. But I'm really grateful to kind of see it in the flesh and see these amazing characters bring their, you know, actors bring the characters' stories to life in a richer way than they were in the game.
Jazz, what about you?
I'm going to read what Nox said real quick. Honestly, episode 5 wins over 3 if it wasn't so painful. You definitely cannot rewatch this if you were very attached to that kid. I totally get that.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, like, it's not like there's no wrong answer there about which one's the best. They both are amazing. We just have our, you know, little preferences here and there. It's all good. Again, another beautiful episode. There's not much more to say. Like, just go watch the show if you're not watching it.
Yeah, we highly recommend you watch the show. For me, I love this episode. As someone who does not play the game, I can't wait for this season to be over so I can go back and play the game and relive all of these moments. I think it'll be a lot of fun. I'm really looking forward to that.
We might do that on Twitch and just like play along and like, yeah, it'll be cool.
Yeah, I mean, maybe we'll do that. Yeah, that'd be really, really cool. So I really like this. I don't know what to expect next. So I am really, really into the show. I really love it. And I can't wait. And I love the fact that they make these changes into some of the characters because we don't know what else kind of changes they make. We might see another character. They might make Muslim or they might make Jewish or they might make something else. I really, really want to see what kind of, because the show is not shying away from diversity, body diversity, disabilities, religion, race. They're not shying away from that. Wherever they can, they're throwing that in there. And I love that. And I'm really, really enjoying the show. Before we go, I do want to give a shout out to Raph, Nox, April, Marjorie, thank you all for being in the comments. The show is so much more fun when people are in the comments. Everybody, if you are listening to this on Spotify, Apple Podcasts,
or all
follow,
the others, all of, like, the 80 other platforms we're on.
Follow us on Twitter, Watch With Neebs or Salam Nerd, and we usually tweet when we go online and when we're even on Instagram, we mention when we're going online. And all you gotta do is click the link and you can follow us and you can chat live. It's a lot of fun. So don't forget to join. And as always, like, share, comment, and subscribe. And until next time, guys, Salam Nerds.
Peace.